Hello. I'm a little bit nervous because my English is not so good. I'm Italian, so I'm sorry. If you don't understand me, it's not your fault. It's my Italian. My presentation should last at least 30 minutes around, but it will last maybe 60 because I have to say all the letters that I wrote in Italian. This is how we Italians do. So please be patient to me, and if you understand me, it's not my merit, but it's Holy Spirit merit, and we rely on it. I thank God for this opportunity to be here really in person, and to thank you for your support, both in prayers and financially supporting. And I want to thank God for all of you and the opportunity to share about what's happening over there in Italy. I don't know how to say it. Next slide. If I shake like that, it means that. Okay. Can you change? Next. Okay. I can see it. Okay, great. Thank you. You are so technically aware, ahead. I'm Elio. I live in Italy with my wife Nicoletta and my Italian wife and my two Italian kids, Christopher, he is 11, and Gabriel, he is 8, almost 9. We live in Trieste, you saw in the video, a city in the northeast part of Italy. And 4 years ago, God opened doors for us to be full-time workers for his church. I'm one of the pastors at Trieste Evangelica. And my wife also cooperates in the mission. Our kids attend the public school over there. They are in sixth and fourth grade. We love to spend our time with people, hosting them, playing board games, card, chatting, laughing, sharing the gospel, and so on. We also like to go to the mountain, especially in the Dolomites. That is, the landscape is almost like the one that you have, so you are very lucky to live in this place. I like it. See if you can change. Thank you. So this is Trieste, the city where we live and minister. It's a beautiful city, as you saw in the video. It was governed by Austria for 500 years before becoming Italy after World War I. I don't know how to say. And you can still see it in architecture and the way of life, the way in the love of Triestini for Austria and the beer. As you see, it's a poor city, but it's also built on the hills between the sea below and the plateau above, a plateau that form an outer boundary for its expansion. So the city counts 205,000 people with a high, very density of population. It's something like 6,200 people in 32 square miles. So can you imagine my first reaction when I first came, arrived in the USA? You guys have a lot of space. This is huge. What do you do with all this space? I don't know. So next slide. So this is Italy. So look on the northeast side next to the boundary with Slovenia. So you can change the slide. Okay. Trieste is there. It's a little stripe of Italy surrounded by Slovenia. So basically, in 5 minutes, we are on the bound. We are in another state, so in another country. So next slide. So the position renders Trieste a natural gateway to the central Europe, the center of Europe. It has always been a passage, a pass-through, an exchange point for different people, different cultures. People just slide each other. But most of all, as you saw in the video, Trieste is a beautiful city that need to hear about the beauty of the gospel. 205,000 people, and as the rest of Italy, there are less than 0.01 of known believers. Let's have a look at what are the barriers to the gospel in Trieste. We take three of those hills I talked about above where what Trieste is built, And we will look at them as the biblical high places. An high place is in the Bible is a place where people go to worship something that is not God. So let's have a look at three of them that represent the Catholicism, the atheism, and the paganism. So, every generation of Italian, both the older generation that define themselves as nominal Catholic, and the new generation that defines themselves more agnostic, share the same distrust towards non-Catholic religion that talks about Christ. For the Italians, each of them is a cult. This was my own thought 13 years ago when I was a practicing Catholic and I met Matt, the church planter that Caleb and Linda worked with. I asked him for the first time, "What are you doing here?" And he said, "Well, I'm a missionary." Hey, I told him, "We don't need you here. We already know Jesus. We are Catholic. We have the Pope that is Christ on the earth. We need anything else?" And he said, "Yeah, but the Bible says, hey, Matt, the clergy is the only authority can interpret the scripture. We don't need someone else that tells us what to do to gain God." But I praise Jesus because he didn't let me there and use this guy, his family, and other special people like the clones in me and my family life to come and rescue us with his grace. Actually, my wife started some personal Bible studies with Matt's wife. I remember her coming back on night and sharing about the book of Romans with excitement. I was so upset. I started to read the Bible to prove they are wrong. They are a cult. And I went with her in church to protect her from this cult. But what nobody knew is that Jesus already prepared me with this feeling of it's impossible for me to gain God. I already tried in the past to cover all my sin with what I was doing, with my action, with my good actions. But whatever I did, it was not enough to cover my thoughts and actions. And I already gave up with God. So the message of the gospel was so powerful to me. Jesus that actually says, "I know that you are not good enough. That's why I was good enough for you. And I paid for you so that we can be really friends." This was a good news, a relieving news. Him saying, "I'm upset with you anymore. I already did what you couldn't." What a message, isn't it? No? What a relief message of hope and love and reconciliation. What we could not achieve, he did for us. And this new friendship is available to us just believing in him. Not performing, that is impossible, but just believing in him. This is really good news. Jesus actually has become alive and present in my life and my wife's life. He became real in our marriage. He became real in our everyday life at work. Everything changed. Our good life became suddenly a meaningful life. Jesus started a transformation that is still ongoing. And praise him for what he is doing and we cannot do. And this leads us to the next step. What was missed before? What is the teaching about Jesus that Italians are missing? Look at this picture. This is taken from the pier in front of the main square of the city. So when you go in this touristic place and you go in the middle of the city, in this pier, what you see is this image. That building on the top of the hill is a national temple to Mary. It's called Monte Grisa. Its shape should remind the veil of Mary. I don't want to talk about how the person of Mary is exalted in that place or the presence of the saints in that place, but I want to talk about how Jesus is represented. So we can go on. I recently brought some American friends in that temple, and I asked them how Jesus is represented. So I let them go around, and we met together. We sat, and I asked, okay, what did you see? How Jesus is represented? And the reply was, whoa, Jesus is weak. He is either a baby in need of protection, in the arms of his mom or dad, or in the arms of some saint, or he is in some needy moment of his life, like when he fall in the Via Dolorosa, or suffering on the cross. Even when he is not in these moments of need and distress, he is represented with a strange, needy face. Can you see on your right? Can you see, like, this face? He is not the Savior, but someone who needs to be rescued. Then I asked, look at this, at the last image. This is the Sacro Cuore, the Holy Heart of Jesus. Jesus is pointing at his heart, as his heart is the source of who he is. So we can switch to the next slide. This is exactly what happens in an internal garden of the temple. Can you see the sculpture? There's a sculpture that says, Jesus, Holy Heart, fountain of life and of holiness. Jesus has been first put in the background, respect his heart, and then his heart has become the object to be worshipped. What happens when you take something from the person of Jesus, you exalt it and start to worship it, what happens? Everything falls apart to the point that you can mix things and use them at your own pleasure. That's why we can go to the next image. The Holy Heart of Jesus is taken from him and become the Holy Heart of Mary. I don't think this has been done on purpose, but this is what happens when we are not faithful to know and present just the person of Jesus. This is a reminder to ourselves when we feel drained and far from God. Where are we searching for the fountain of our spirituality? Are we searching for a different revelation? Are we searching for a different approach? Are we searching for a different church? Are we searching for a different worship service? For a different theory? Or are we searching to know more the person of Jesus? This reminds me of the first chapter of Colossians. Paul writes this letter to a church with someone in the church that is trying to make Christians more spiritual. For them to be saved was not enough. And they were searching for a different revelation, mixing paganism and Judaism in their practices in order to know God better and increase their spirituality. And Paul comes with this great piece of literature, this hymn to Jesus that says in Colossians 1, verse 15, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Wow. This is the Jesus, the real Jesus. This is the true Jesus. Are we searching for reconciliation? The gospel says that Jesus came to reconcile to God all things, whether on earth or in heaven. He is the one who made peace by the blood of the cross. In this cosmic reconciliation of all things with the Father. Are we searching for spirituality? The gospel says that God was pleased to dwell in Jesus, the fullness of Him. If we want to know more God, we need to search for Jesus. If we want to be more spiritual, we need to search for Jesus. If we want to discover the beauty of God, we need to go to the beautiful Jesus. Jesus is the Alpha. Jesus is the Omega. Jesus is the Rescuer, the Redeemer, the Savior and Lord, the best friend we can have. He is the truth, the way and the life. Trusting Him and knowing Him and only Him and Him alone, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can have a true relationship with God. The people is in search for spirituality. They are craving for the good news. We have to point them to the true and only good news. We need to give them Jesus. This is not the Jesus that Italians know. Even if they say they are not Catholic, they have a distorted idea of Jesus because the only voice spoke for centuries presented a distorted idea of Jesus. And this is the source of the problem. So next. The second high place I want to talk about is the university. This is the main campus on a hill that dominates the city. Next. Next slide. Okay. Trieste has a highly scientific community. We have a center of theoretical physics. High-minded people from all over the world come to study quantum physics and so on. We have a physics school for advanced scientific researches, especially in math, physics, and neuroscience. We have a synchrotron, a particle accelerator that emits lights for application in materials light. We have one of the few astronomic observatories in Italy. The community is mostly atheistic, atheist, and very outspoken on atheism. And you can spot it when you talk to young college students. The university sponsored the first gay pride ever in Trieste that happened last month. The third high place I want to talk you about, is the hill that hosts the Triskel. The Triskel is one of the biggest Celtic festivals in Europe. Every year, in June, 100,000 people visit this festival. Every one of my generation and younger generation spends their nights listening to Celtic music and having a beer between the stands. But the festival is not only folkloric, is the exhibit of one of the many dark sides of the city. Next. Pagan priests and priestesses perform their rituals, waving the sun at the sunrise and celebrating pagan weddings. This is a magic labyrinth where people pay 5 euro to submit their request to the goddess, the little sculpture in the center. They are supposed to humbly approach the goddess, submit their request, and exit the labyrinth, thanking the goddess, and take a preprinted response from a basket like a Fortune biscuit. And stands full of magic symbols and books about sorcery and Wicca complete the image. I personally met people during these years of ministry dedicated to black and white magic, and they speak about an underground numerous community of practitioners. In all of this, this is Trieste Evangelica. Jesus is at work expanding his kingdom through his church. This is the room we meet to worship. Around 40 people, children and unbelievers included, who love Jesus, the believers, and are passionate about the gospel. Next. Our mission is to be and make disciples of Jesus that expand the kingdom of God, being missional, multiplying missional groups and planting churches. We do it living as disciples of Jesus, as a family of servants in mission. These are the three values that we have. We rely on the Holy Spirit to have a life as part of the family of God, as the ones He made us, in order to serve Jesus and bring the gospel to the lost. As a family does, we have regular life together. We eat together, read the Bible, and pray together. We make trips together. We take part at city events together, and so on. Next. As a family does, we have some events, maybe a tea party between four women to invite, maybe a visit to a retirement house with the kids, maybe a gospel music worship, maybe giving food to the homeless. Not really maybe. All activities we did to serve, these are activities that we did to serve, bless, and reach the neighborhood. Okay? One of the events we invest a lot are summer camps for kids elementary school age. Most of them are come from families of unbelievers. And we invite people from churches in the United States to help us to run this camp. And we also ask the families of unbelievers to host them. So what happens is that unbelievers open their houses to host believers. And for 1 week, there is this great opportunity to live together and share, simply share with your life the gospel. And what God does in that weeks is in the life of the kids and their families is amazing. The friendship they make and the conversation they have help to connect those families to the church. The first step to trust us enough to consider us, to not consider us a cult anymore. Anyway, we rely on the Holy Spirit for them to accept Jesus. I'm sorry. If you can go. Okay. The process of trust is long. We don't know why. God knows. But it can take years to build this trust. Last year, we had three baptisms. After many years, we didn't see a single conversion. But what a joy when they accept Jesus and they eventually share their testimony to the city and we can baptize them in the ocean. It's easy to listen to the joy of the party in heaven in that moment. So, these are the projects we are putting our prayers and plan as a church, and we invite you to join the prayers with us. The first is group multiplication. As you saw, we would love to see many groups formed. We need people and leaders. Pray both for conversions so that people can accept Jesus and especially for leaders that can take care, pastorally can take care of the groups. The second point is church planting. We are part of a churches planting churches network of churches in Italy. And our heart is really church planting, is to see the kingdom of God that reach the unreached part of Italy. We have a project to plant a church in a town 20 minutes from Trieste, and this place is called Sistiana. My co-pastor already lives there, and we started the process to plant this church. But many things happened the last few months, and the project is in a standby phase. So please pray for a restart, especially there are many things that are happening, but he just received the okay to adopt three children from Russia, so this will change his life considerably. We are also supporting a church plant in Tirana, Albania. The third project is a college student ministry. So the college, as you saw, is one of the area, the source of rejection of the gospel. So there are 15,000 young people that attend the college in Trieste. So please join us praying for a ministry to be opened in this field. And the last point is church relocation. Our building is not good for us. If you can go to the next slide. It is really small. It is really humid. It is not really accessible. And even if it is in the center of the city, you cannot reach it. We basically use it for our Sunday gathering only, and all people cannot come just because they cannot access it. We need a different space, but Trieste is really packed, and finding something like we need is not really easy. I take you some minutes more to talk about the next thing is Impatto. That is another area of ministry we are involved as a family. Impatto is the network of churches in Italy, a network that is that I personally serve as a coordinator of the assessment to join the network. We basically assess the couple that will lead the churches to help them plant the new church or become a church planting churches church. In this role, I can also help in supporting, coaching, encouraging church planters in Italy and beyond. My natural location in Trieste is making me look towards the Balkans, even if it's not something real by now. So, for example, the church in Tirana we support is part of this network. So I want to share with you some prayer requests. It's quite good, the timing. Okay. So if you can join us to in pray for the family, so that we can be really faithful to the plain gospel and the mission. I ask you even pray for time management and to pray for our children and the mission around them. Basically, one of the problems in Italy is that the church, children of unbelievers live their life, live their life in the midst of a culture that is highly against them. So they need prayers to be faithful and to not be taken from the culture. and our family mission is most around them. We have, as they are a collector of contacts, is a good way for us to minister the gospel. So we are involved in their school, and we are involved in their sport activity. The second area of prayers is about the church. So we ask for prayer for disciples and leaders, for group multiplication, for church planting like Sistiama and Albania, the college student ministry, and the new location for the church. And for Italy, we ask you to pray for spiritual revival, for gospel-centered church planting and multiplication, and for the ministries that this network runs. So thank you so much, really, for listening to me. I hope this helped to have a better understanding of the ministry. I hope I didn't bore you, especially, and that your heart is on fire for the gospel in Italy as is ours. I want to let me leave you with these words from the letter to the Romans, Romans 10:14-15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? So thank you for allowing us to invest our time in spreading the gospel and helping the church in Trieste and Italy to do it. Thank you so much.